He's an awesome God. And you know, as I've been reflecting, and it just seems like the last week or two, it's all I've been doing is thinking about these past 20 years and thanking God for the privilege of pastoring this church. And a lot has changed since we pulled into town 20 years ago in our little Ryder truck. And my wife, two little children, those children have grown up, and I just wondered if, again, you would bring the lights up today, because I'm so glad that my wife and my children are with me today. And I want to, Susan, if you'll stand up. Catherine and her fiance Andy are here, stand up. Jonathan and his fiance, come on, stand up, kids, I'm telling you. And Nathan and Victoria. And I just thank God. I thank God for you guys. I love my family. I love my family. And I'm so grateful that through all of the 20 years that I have a family, all four of my children and my two soon-to-be son-in-law, daughter-in-law, they love the Lord Jesus. They love the church. I'm so grateful that I didn't lose my family in serving the church. Just love you guys a lot today. You know that. Susan, awesome mom. There's the world's greatest mom. And a great, great pastor's wife, because any pastor knows what it's like in ministry. You've got to have a wife who's equally called. And I'm so grateful that God gave me a woman who's called. But a lot has changed, and as I thought back, you know, we were doing the trivia about 1990, I was kind of thinking, well, think about how much has changed in the past 20 years. I wanted to really impress the young people today here and let you know that 20 years ago, I could have kicked LeBron James' butt any day of the week. I was 31 and he was 5. I could take him. In fact, I thought about it, and I thought you could put LeBron James, Dwight Howard, and Kevin Durant together. I could have kicked all three at one time. Because Dwight was 4 and Kevin Durant was 1. I could have made Kevin Durant cry any day of the week. That's pretty impressive. But see, a lot has changed. I thought about the fact that 20 years ago, the sports world had never heard of Shaquille O'Neal, Brett Favre, Kobe Bryant, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and 20 years ago, Adrian Peterson couldn't have scored on me. But a lot has changed in 20 years. 20 years ago, a gallon of gas cost $1.34. A lot has changed. 20 years ago, the average cost of a year of college was $8,200 a year. A new home, average new house, would have cost $123,000. A new car, somewhere around $9,000, and the minimum wage was $3.80. A lot has changed. 20 years ago, think of it, none of us had ever used the World Wide Web. We had not sent an email. We had not heard of YouTube, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, and you're all wondering, what in the world did we do back in those boring days, right? Think about it. 20 years ago, none of us carried around a cell phone, had ever used an iPod, had never used or seen a DVD, had not listened to a CD, and we had not watched the Super Bowl on a flat screen in HD, much less. 20 years ago, none of us here, get this one, none of us here, it's not that it didn't exist, but it didn't, maybe there were 3 in the country, none of us had ever been to a Sam's Club. None of us had yet drank a Starbucks. Isn't that amazing? None of us had eaten a Krispy Kreme. None of us had driven or even thought about driving a Lexus. And we still used an Atlas rather than a GPS unit, right? 20 years ago in Peoria, no one here would have yet gone to a movie at Willow Knolls because Willow Knolls didn't exist, much less Rave Theater. We would not have yet eaten at Flat Top or Johnny's. We wouldn't have golfed at Weaver Ridge. We wouldn't have lounged around Barnes & Noble. And until 20 years ago, this past Thursday, no one would have ever attended Northwoods Community Church. A lot has changed in 20 years. We feel the changes. We have only to look in the mirror to see the changes. But I'm glad that I can stand on this stage today and declare to you the one thing that has not changed in the past 20 years, 220 years, 2,020 years, and that is the character and the nature of our Almighty God that we serve. He has not and He will not change. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And then we wonder what in the world is going on today. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10 says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed like an old pair of blue jeans," this is saying, you know. You will just discard them. "But you remain the same, and your years will never end." And then Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so, guys, we can look back and we can see a flood tide of change. And probably if we were to look ahead, we're going, who knows what the next 20 years will bring. But I'm grateful that we serve a God who will not change. And because He won't change, the Bible says His word stands secure forever. That simply means that when you trust Him, many of you have trusted Him over the course of these past 20 years, you anchored your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that no matter what the next 20 years bring, you are anchored in one who will never change. And because He won't, you can trust His promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Jesus Christ." I am so glad that for the last 1,040 Sundays, I've been able to stand on the stage in front of the people, regardless of what building we're in, and say, you can come to Jesus Christ, because the Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And I'm so grateful that we don't serve a God who could say, "Well, you know what, I said that back then, but I don't really mean that today." God will never say, "Just kidding." He won't entice you to put your faith and your trust in His promises, and once you do, say, "Well, I know I said that, but I'm just kidding." Because He's a God who does not change. His word is sure for all ages. And when you anchored your life and when you anchored your hope in His promise, you anchored to the one thing that will not change. And I always like to say, God does not punt on His promises. There was a night years ago when I was just a little tyke, and don't ever say that television doesn't influence little ones. I love to watch Tarzan on Friday nights. And I love to see him get going and have to beat up some of the people on that show. And I had just watched Tarzan, and I was playing with my little brother, who was about 2 years younger than me, and we were going to play Tarzan. And I asked him to get down on all fours and kind of bury his head and his knees so his little rear end would make a nice target. And he says, he said, no, you're going to kick me. I said, I promise. I will not kick you. I want to play Tarzan. I said, I'm going to come running. I'm going to jump over you. No, you're going to kick me. No, I promise. Just get down and I want to come running over you, you know, jumping over you. So he's down there, and about the time he gets ready, I go running, and it was a perfect punt, baby. And he's crying. You promised. And what am I saying? I was just kidding. See? Donnie remembers that I wounded him, you know, back then. And I often think of that and say, I'm so grateful that we don't serve a God who ever says to us, yeah, I know I promised, but I was just kidding. He wasn't kidding the day he called you to himself and asked you to trust him with your life. And that if you would, not only would you have abundant life now, but you'd have eternal life later. And he's not kidding when he says, I'm the one alone who will not change. I will take you into whatever future changes are to come. And so I'm reminded today of one of my favorite illustrations. I keep it under a glass in my office on my desk. Written by a Lloyd C. Douglas, who while he was a university student lived upstairs in a boarding house. And down on the first floor was a retired, elderly music teacher, now infirm, confined to a wheelchair, and unable to leave his home. And over the course of his time at that university, living upstairs, he developed a little routine with this music teacher. He would come down the steps to head to school, and every day stick his head inside the door and say, well, what's the good word? That music teacher would take his little tuning fork that sounded like this. He would hit it on the wheel of his wheelchair, and he would say, that's a middle C. It was a middle C yesterday. It'll be a middle C tomorrow. It'll be a middle C 1,000 years from now. The tenor upstairs sings flat, and the piano across the hall needs tuned. But that, my friends, is a middle C. And as I've thought about that, again, I'm here today to tell you that our God, who does not change, has given us in his word the middle C's to which we are to anchor our lives. When God promises you peace and you need peace in your life, he says, I am the one who will give you peace at all times and in every way. You can anchor to that. When he promises you joy, he lets you know that you can have joy overflowing through the Holy Spirit. You can anchor to that. You tune your life to his promises, and I'm so grateful that many of you have. There are going to be times in your life in the next 20 years when you have anxiety, and you know what you're going to have to do? When you are worried because the changes that are going on around you, you're going to have to tune to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, which says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by thanksgiving, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then what? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. There are going to be times when things happen in your life that you can't understand where God is, and you're going to have to tune to Romans 8:28, that says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. There are going to be times that you know fear, and you're going to have to anchor your life to 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. There are going to be times when you're challenged economically, and you're going to have to tune to Philippians 4:19 and be reminded again that my God will meet all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. There are going to be times when you're intimidated, and you're going to have to tune to Philippians 4:12. I can do all things through God, Christ, who gives me the strength. There are going to be times when the enemy comes against you, And you are going to have to tune to Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us so. There are going to be times when the enemy tries to tell you that what you've done is so bad that you cannot be forgiven. And you're going to have to tune to 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And guys, who knows, but 20 years from now, a lot of us who are here today may have taken our final step, our final breath. And in that moment, you tune to Philippians chapter 1, verse 24, which tells you that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We anchor to the promises of God's word, and I'm so grateful that over the course of these years together, guys, I said it last week, God has allowed us for every day of our existence to see at least one life changed for eternity. And that means 7,309 and more. Only eternity will reveal. But we know that God has added to the church daily those who are being saved. And I want you to know today the middle sea of his word upon which you have taken your stand, that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so for the next 20 years, we're going to continue to preach that most famous verse of all, John 3:16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I want to tell you something today, friends. That was a middle sea yesterday. That'll be a middle sea tomorrow. That will be a middle sea 1,000 years from now. Stay anchored to the one who does not change. I thought, what an awesome thing to have seen the kind of lives that we have seen change. And so it would only be fitting to show just a tribute from one that was saved like 19 years ago and still walking with Jesus today, and then another family that just came to Christ recently. And as we do, I want you just to not only thank God for these that you'll see today, but to just thank him in your heart right now for the fact that there are thousands upon thousands who are going to be in eternity because they've anchored to the middle sea of God's word, and God has given us the privilege of sharing that gospel with them. Let's watch the screens.
I was going through a divorce in the 80s, and it was a hard time for me. Two young kids involved. I guess you could say it was probably some of my wilder days during that period. And I had been going to a gym in Morton, Illinois, and I met a girl, and we started seeing each other. And she invited me to church. After a couple of weeks of knowing each other, she invited me to come to a service, and it was at Northwoods. Actually, my first time at Northwoods was the 1 year anniversary of the church, so it would have been March 1991. I took my two young kids, and they loved it, and we never stopped. From then on, we came to Northwoods every weekend. It was really all new to me. I had this thought of church as being very boring, and Northwoods was something totally different. It was upbeat, it was lively, it was current. It was things that were happening in my life and lives of others around me at that time. So it was really fresh and new, upbeat and exciting. Through that whole year of 1991, although I was coming to church all the time, I was still investigating what this Christianity was really all about. In December of 1991, in the auditorium at Notre Dame High School, I did make the commitment and accepted Christ as my Savior. There's people that I've met at Northwoods from all walks of life, from carpenters to tradespeople to doctors, and I've made friends in all walks of life, and God's brought different people through these doors for different purposes. But I think the diversity that we've seen here of people is a great thing. And I thank God for all the friends that I've been able to make over these last 19 plus years.
Our journey really started quite a while ago, where we had fallen away from church and not been attending church for quite some time.
About 11 years ago, my entire family was killed in a fire. My mother, my father, and my niece. And I think that kind of really hit us hard and made us, you know, take a step back and try to refocus and figure out what we were doing. And I got very depressed over it.
I was sent to Iraq for 14 months. And after coming back from Iraq, there was the issue that Amy hadn't been dealing with. I didn't know how to deal with it. Plus, thrown on top of that was some struggles I had from Iraq. And I struggled with anger and post-traumatic stress disorder.
I think he was always in fear of the unknown around him. I didn't know how to help him through, you know, the things he had gone through in Iraq, and he didn't know how to help me through the death of my parents. As our marriage was just about probably at the end is when we just looked at each other one day and I said, well, in order for you to stay, I want you to bring Lord into our life and the Lord into our family. And I want to raise our marriage and our children around a church.
We just knew that there was something drawing us to the church and to have a relationship with God. And we just didn't know what it was.
Some of the early services that we went to, I think Cal was looking right at Mark and myself and saying, hey, you two out there, I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Because they were just right on the money every time. And that would make me cry.
Northwoods has become my rock and my foundation and my faith to build upon.
And that in return has come into our family, into our marriage, and then into our children. So they've recognized it as well as, you know.
And it has strengthened our marriage.
Once we started going to church, that changed everything. And I just felt so much more at ease. Like I could, you know, stand behind Mark and let Mark be the leader of our family.
We could have easily left each other, but it didn't work out that way. And God kept us together. And, 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, when we came to Northwoods, that was, I think we had finally arrived at a point where God wanted us to be and started us on a whole new journey. And
much better journey.
Much better journey.
That's awesome. I want to just ask you to bow your heads right now, because I believe there's probably some here today that need to tune their lives to the middle sea of God's Word and come home to Him. Ran into Darcy back here as I was coming in. I said, Darcy, I think it was 19. He said, no, 18 years ago, our second anniversary, we had Leslie Frazier from the defensive back for the Bears was here. And in that moment that day, Darcy surrendered his life to Jesus, tuned his life to the middle sea, walked with a God that'll never change. And so I want to just pray, and I want to invite those of you, maybe you have never surrendered your life to Jesus. You can't say for sure today that you have trusted Him with your life. Would you just pray this prayer and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I need you in my life today. I repent of all my sin, all of my past mistakes, all of my past shortcomings. And I ask you to forgive me. I thank you that you have given the promise of eternal life to any who will put their faith and trust in you. And so right now, I want to trust you with my life. I invite you to come in. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward and shape me into the person that you want me to be. But I thank you today for giving me life and to know that no matter what changes go on around me, you're the God who will never change. And because I'm anchored to your word and anchored to your promise, you'll never say, just kidding. You will do what you have promised to do. And so I thank you for that assurance in my life today. In Jesus' name, Amen. And guys, just before this final package of that wraps us up and a couple more little worship choruses, and then we'll celebrate with some cake. I want to do something that we did 10 and a half years ago, the last time we were gathered at the Civic Center, only we were in the theater. And so I want to just ask all the lights to go out right now, and I want it just to be dark in this place. In fact, you can even take the light down on me if you want so I can see well. Let's just make it dark, if we can do that. And I want to ask you right now, in the darkness, in the silence of this room, if you're one, don't turn your lights on yet, okay? I'm going to do something with that in just a minute. If you're one who did not know Jesus Christ when you walked through the doors of Northwoods, and today you do know Him, you can say, He is my Lord and Savior. I've anchored my life and my hope to Him. If you're one who either came to Jesus or you were away from Him, and you would say, I came back to Jesus at Northwoods, on the count of three, I want you to turn your light on. Okay? If you came to Jesus or you came back to Jesus, on the count of three, I want you to turn your light on, and we're going to give God a big shout for what we see in this place. Here we go. One, two, three. Is that awesome? Look at that. Look at that. Come on, choir. Take it away. It's all by the grace of God. Let's rejoice in God's grace.